Diversity is our strength. Oh, here we go. It's the news, according to me. Good, again, afternoon. It is 1:52 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Central Time Zone. It is 12:52 here. I have not had lunch yet. It's almost 1 o'clock. I have not eaten lunch, and my body is telling me that I haven't eaten lunch yet. However, I do have this chai right here in front of me. It is Friday, August 8th, 2025. I have a few things I want to talk about today. First of all, I'm going to talk about what's in my cup. I've got a normal, my regular cup of chai here with some powdered creamer in it, which is not exactly thrilling. I have a backup cup, which is mostly melted ice. It was originally a cup of Chick-fil-A tea. It doesn't even taste like tea anymore. I have to be honest. It's pretty much just, it just looks like water. It doesn't even look like tea. I've put too much water, too much ice in the thing. I should have, coming in through the airport this morning, I should have grabbed a sweet tea from Chick-fil-A. There's a Chick-fil-A at the airport. And of course I should have just gotten it. They probably would have refilled my cup for free if I'd have just brought the cup in, but they didn't. I didn't stop and check. I should have done that. That's my bad. It's my bad. That's on me. I have a couple things I want to talk about today. I've been busy working on trying to get my vehicles squared away. That has taken up a little bit of my time today, which I didn't plan on. The car that had the new engine put in it, not the new engine, but a fairly new engine put in it, which was also, apparently there was a part that didn't get quite put back together quite properly and something fell off of it or something. I'm not even exactly sure what it is. I got two different dealerships now because when we took the deal, the car was on the road. We were traveling down the road when it happened. They fixed it for us. Took a couple months. Almost 2 months. We had, of course, then there was another issue. When the issue popped up on that one, we were already home. My wife was actually traveling up north into Michigan, stopped at a dealer there. The two dealers are not talking to each other. I'm having to be the middleman with all the service work here, with all the stuff that needs to be done. That may be changing here shortly because I'm about to start complaining about that. I don't think that if this is covered under warranty, then guess what? I shouldn't have to be dealing with all the communication between two different same brand dealerships. They should be just taking care of me. I get it. Volvo, maybe they don't. I don't know. Just so we'll see what happens with all that. I think that the original company dealership that did the work should be making a little bit more effort to get this squared away. That's my opinion on the deal. People don't understand service anymore. They just don't. I do have, of course, now the other side of this thing is I've got my motorhome, which I think I've talked about ad nauseum on the show. It is just got a call. Just got a hold of them on the whole issue of what's going on with it. There's a speed issue. I've talked about this before. This thing slows down on its own, does weird shifting stuff, does some weird stuff. It's a 96, which is about 30 years old. So there's just weird stuff going on. The issue right now is that they've looked into it. There's three different codes it's getting now. They finally have found that. At least that's something they found. The other guy couldn't find. Again, it's a speed sensor, which was my hunch to begin with was that there was some kind of a speed sensor or a shifting position sensor of some kind. And of course, that's what it's turned out that one of the codes is it's a transmission sensor of some sort that's speaking to the. So that's what's going on. Now, it could also be a solenoid issue of some. There's like a little vacuum solenoid type pressure solenoid of some sort that could be causing a problem. Of course, all this is being looked into for ridiculous amounts of money, but it's got to be done. That's where it's at this point. So, yeah, there you go. Now, I want to move on. Now, yesterday we talked about this whole Chuck Schumer issue with him kind of going down the same road that the Obama attitude towards business owners. This idea that business owners somehow just we're riding on the backs of everything that the government provides for us. You didn't build that. Oh, these business, I did all this with my own work and my own. This is coming from people who have never built anything, never done anything, never produced anything in their life. Just what aggravates me the most from these people. Chuck Schumer, show me the businesses that you've started from scratch. I'm not talking about a franchise. It's a whole different. I don't know if he's ever started a franchise. It's a whole different ball game when somebody does that. Some people are called entrepreneurs. They're not entrepreneurs. It's a different kind of entrepreneurship, if you want to call it that. Just owning a business, buying a business that's already in existence, or buying a turnkey franchise that you just pay your money up front and they bring everything in, they do all the research, they do all the stuff for you, and all you do is step in and manage the business. That's a totally different ball game. Totally different ball game. Starting something from scratch, a service idea that's in your head that you have spawned, birthed, whatever you want to call it. You have given life to this vision that you have for a business. It's a whole other world. It's something totally different than just buying an existing business, inheriting a business, stepping up, working your way up through the ranks in a business and becoming the general manager or the owner or the whatever you are, buying, you know, or just even sitting back and being an investor. There's a couple businesses, friends of mine, that's things I've invested in, other businesses. And I don't consider myself an entrepreneur in that business. I'm just an investor. I threw some money at something. It's very different. It's a very different situation. Anyway, I've harped on that enough, I think. I'm echoing what I talked about yesterday. Onward and upward from there, one of the subjects I want to talk about today is this idea that can a society, can a culture be evil or wicked, or can one culture be better than another culture? I guess I should say more virtuous, expedient. Can it be better than another culture in regards to morality, in regards to a lot of other things? Sustainability, morality, productivity, the ability to be more healthy, all those things. Can it be better? Now, I'm just going to tell you right up front, I think so, and I'll tell you why. And I think that there's an obvious, you know, how dare you say that not one culture is better than another? Because diversity is our strength. We need diverse cultures. We need diverse things like this to stay strong. No, not necessarily. We need a good, solid vision, something to rally around to bring us strength, and something that whatever that is needs to be of. It just needs to have good virtue. It needs to be virtuous. It needs to be something to. I think that our Constitution, the fact that it has been around for so many years, and it has basically been almost unchanged, other than just amendments that were done a long time ago. There's been very few amendments since then. And in fact, I would argue that some of the amendments that have happened since the birth of the Constitution is the Bill of Rights, for example. Nothing's been added to the Bill of Rights. They're trying to take away from the Bill of Rights. And the very people who claim to be so concerned about the constitutional crisis that we're having, this current president's tearing up the Constitution. Well, what part of the Constitution is he tearing up? Because you're the ones who want to eliminate parts of the Constitution. You want more censorship, less freedom of speech. You want the Second Amendment to just be completely gone. You don't think there should be any right of the people to bear arms, keep and bear arms. You think that the government should be just in charge of who gets to have one and who doesn't. That's the way you would like to have it. Oh, yeah, so you have a right to a firearm, but it's just only if we you know, we'll pick and choose who those people are going to be who get to do that. That's where they would like for it to be, which is completely bogus. So is there such a thing as a culture that can be wicked? Yes. Look back into the biblical history of what happened between the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, and the children of other communities, of other societies, of other groups of people groups around the area, the nations that were around them. There are cultures that basically God just said, eliminate them completely. They need to be taken away. The culture of humanity prior to the flood was so bad that God was ready to destroy everything except he left this one family, Noah. Now, there is an interesting side note to this. It wasn't just that they were evil and wicked in their ways. That's not necessarily why God destroyed the earth and everything in it, except saving for everything that was on the ark at that time. There is a genetic component as well. Things were tainted with a gene pool from the, if you want to get into some of this kind of thing, if you look at what was really going on, there's the Book of Enoch. If you look into that kind of thing, there's references to the Book of Enoch, by the way, in the Bible, in Scripture, in the New Testament. There are references back to that. Even Paul did some things. Joel said some things. It's in the New Testament. Even Jesus referenced something that plays back into something that wasn't in what we consider the Old Testament canon. It was actually in the Book of Enoch. So there's a component to this it's not a scriptural book, the Book of Enoch. It is more of a history book. It is just because, you know, you have lots of books today. People still read books today. They're not necessarily scriptural, but they read them, and there's a lot of truth in them. There's a lot of things in them that helped us to understand life and understand truth and understand the way. So this is the kind of thing we have to understand. That's kind of where the Book of Enoch is. And that's so we take that with, you know, aside from the scriptures, what we can call the Word of God. So this anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that there was wickedness in certain societies and certain communities. Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, is one. That was not necessarily a genetic issue. That was more of these people had just become wicked. And it was God didn't say, well, you need to go in and live amongst the Sodomites and just become a more diverse society, because that will bring you strength. That will create you a stronger society if you go in and embrace their differences and then their community cultural practices. And no, that's not what he said. Nowhere in Scripture will you find that diversity is your strength. Nowhere. Nothing. Does not exist. There's no principle. There's no biblical principle that you can draw a conclusion. You can even put together a precept for that kind of thing. Diversity is our strength. Doesn't happen. It's not there. You can't draw that conclusion. I'm sure somebody out there can try to put some weird thing together like that, but you have to stretch so far in the overall point of things. There's nothing else that says that. There's not a single proverb that talks about that. There's a verse, precept upon precept, line upon line. There's a meaning to some of the things that are said in Scripture. That's what we do. It's precepts. There was a study called, there was a book study called Precepts back in the day when I was younger. Probably still is out there. People probably still use it. Unfortunately, it is a book that refers to the Scripture. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a precept. The problem is that was actually a rebuke to the leaders of the time because of the way they were treating God's word and the way they were treating the Scriptures with precepts upon precepts, lines upon lines. They were building precepts upon precepts. It's a supposition, basically, of Scripture instead of the. And that's what happens a lot today. It's gone crazy today. It's all over the place. I could get into that more later, but I'm going to talk about that. The interesting thing about this is are there societies, are there cultures that are wicked? There's an issue right now with a certain culture that has been brought into our country, and I'm not as considered refugee status from another country. And it was actually a country from Africa. These people were considered refugees that we brought hundreds of thousands of them. I'm not in an official refugee status that we actually transported them here, gave them asylum here. A long time ago, this is many years ago, probably 30, 40 years ago. And the issue is that they have a very different culture. Now, I was recently seen video of it. So this is what was happening. I think this might have been in another city. It wasn't in Ohio where they were eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. It was a different city. But again, another area where people didn't assimilate. They brought too many of them here. All of them didn't assimilate. They don't even speak English very, very well at all. They kind of maybe understand some English, but they don't. They live in a community where you can live all day long, for all week long, without speaking a word of English, because the community has basically congealed in one area, and they don't have to assimilate. They live within their culture. There's many pockets of places in the country today where people live under Sharia law. Their local leaders, this happens mostly in Europe. Europe has been just completely overrun. Paris is no longer Paris anymore. Most of the UK, very different place than it was, especially the bigger cities, simply because of the way they've embraced diversity. So that's at the bottom line is that's the excuse that they use. Well, the diversity is our strength. We bring these other cultures in here. We have such a diverse culture. Different cultures like this. It's one thing to come into the country. And, you know, for many, many years, Mexicans have been here, and we've had Mexican food. We've had Mexican. You know, we have Chinatown in Chicago, and New York is Chinatown. There's different places where there's groups of, you know, I get it. You're there with people that you have a common ancestry to. But you have the common basis of your being here in this country is that you believe in the American experiment. That the independence of an individual. And then you have the freedom to set up your own associations. That's fine. But we have one common law. You don't have a Sharia law within that law that now we know that gives me the right to do this, that, and the other thing or whatever it is. Now, over in Europe, it is running rampant with the cultural acceptance, I would say that they allow Sharia law to actually be implemented in some courts now. People bring Sharia law into the court, and they allow them to implement their Sharia law. Well, under Sharia, we do this because it's a religious law. That's what they call it. It is absolutely insane, and it's insanity. I don't understand, how you think that you're going to maintain. Paris is Paris because of the French European thing, and once you allow that to start, if that's not allowed to be protected and embraced as a culture that needs to be protected or needs to be that has a right to exist, then you've lost it. It's not going to be there anymore. It's going to be overrun, and it's just and that's what's happening here. We have places where there are, you can't tell the difference between a third world country and some of the things that we're seeing. Some of the videos I've watched of things happening in this country, especially with the paid for by the George Soros types of organizations that are out there. Some things that happen here with the protests and other things that happen it blows my mind. You'd think it was happening in some third world country where there's some revolt going on. That's what it looks like. Now, end on another, this is a Friday, so, Shabbat Shalom. We have, by the way, I want to know what you think about this. I want to know, please share with me your opinions. 812-379-8778. Just give me a call, send me a text. Let me know what you think. Just let me know what your opinion of my opinion is. Or just let me know what your opinion is. Or just give me an idea of what you want me to talk about on the show. You can send a text or call that number, leave a message. I will play your message on the show here, unless you tell me not to. Please just say, hey, I just want to just say mention this, and please don't play my thing, but you can mention this or whatever. Just, this is my question for you, whatever it is. You can also text it. If you don't have a phone, or if you don't have access to an international calling plan, because I know I have a lot of international listeners from all over the world, you can text or call. You just go to google.com/voice and then put that number in there, 812-379-8778, and let me know what you think. Here you go. You just type it in, put that number in there, and you can do that thing. In the meantime, I just want to end on this note. Where we're at, we're just going to talk about this for just a few minutes. Donald Trump some interesting things have been happening, and the left is just they're blowing their minds, and he's doing like 27 different things all at the same time. It seems like every day. I'm going to say, I know people who don't necessarily. There are some people who kind of worship Donald Trump and think he's going to be around forever. He's not, and he's. There are some things. There are some faculties that are diminishing. I don't think it's his mental capacity. I do believe he's having some physical slowdowns. It is becoming noticeable. I think that he's trying to do an awful lot, awfully quickly, very quickly, and he knows he has to. Now, one of the things that they're doing with this gerrymandering thing, gerrymandering, where they kind of divide up these districts to get representatives, they do all this kind of stuff. One of the things that Donald Trump is doing right now is he's issuing a new census to be taken. And the Constitution says you have to have a census be done every so often, whatever it is, certain times. And it's done. The screwy thing about the census is you participate in the census, you count people, regardless of whether they're citizens or not. You can be here on vacation and get counted in a census. That's how ridiculous it is. That's the way the left has basically construed this thing. What he wants to do is basically say you have to be a U.S. citizen in order to be counted in the census. Because there's a reason for this. Now, we also want to know how many people are in the country. But we also need to know what the actual numbers of people who are citizens here, who are legal voters, who are basically, you know, supposed to be here, because it determines the number of people that are available for, in other words, the representation as how many representatives they're going to be. The reason there's this big fight down in Texas right now about the gerrymandering thing that's going on, and they're going to lose seats in Texas. They're going to lose representatives in the House. They're going to lose representatives in the State Department, in the Texas Congress, as well as the federal Congress. Some other things that are going on. This is happening all over the place. California. Now, of course, the big thing here is they're saying, well, then the Democrats are going to do it in their states too. They've already done that. Okay, that's why solid blue states are still solid blue, even though there's 40-50% of people have voted for Trump in the last election, and yet they have no representation or very little representation of any Republicans in their state, because of the way they gerrymander things, that they put things into certain districts. Now, little known in the state of Indiana, we have this issue as well. And the St. Joe County, which is right next to my county of Elkhart County, has been known as a blue county in the state, especially in the northern part of the state. And it's just one of those things. It's just known as a Democrat county. Cities kind of have this issue as well, but the county itself, if you actually look at what has happened there, it is because of gerrymandering. It's because same thing. Same thing has happened there. There are plenty of people there. In fact, if you look at in terms of just not numbers, but if you look at in terms of the I will say land mass, by far. This is one of the reasons that the early founders of our nation said that you can't vote unless you own land. Only landowners could vote initially, because they were invested in the country. They invested in the actual land. So if you own land here, you can vote. Not just citizens, landowners. In other words, you're here. This is where you are. Because you basically were kind of a little sovereign nation within the nation as a property owner, and so to speak. So you have the right to vote in that respect. That's how it started. And of course, that was changed. Then later on, everybody started, you know, then it just, you know, go down that rabbit hole. We have what ended up happening. Now, if you look at in terms of land mass, you know, county by county, this nation is red. You can't hardly find any blue when you start looking at county by county. Problem is the population of the counties are not very high. The population is not very high. The land itself is in dark, you know, is in very dark red areas. However, there's just not enough people. The areas where there are, you know, people have kind of conglomerated. Also, it's a big long word. I don't know if I'm even using it right. The people have, you know, where they gather, where they become cities, big cities, typically tend to be the leftists tend to be more left leaning because they're looking at social programs. People go to bigger cities because I'm not sure what the draw is there about that whole thing. It's interesting how big cities, people who like big cities, they like the whole idea of everybody being piled on top of each other. For some reason, that is, they like that. And it has a tendency to be leftists who do. I don't know what the draw is. I don't know. It's almost like as if, I think there's a spiritual component there. I don't know what it is, but it must be something. And that's all I'm going to say. Even in scripture, there's been, you know, there's multiple stories of, you know, someone choosing the countryside or someone choosing the city. And what that means, you know, that this in terms of one is one more godly than the other? Not necessarily, but it tends to go down that road. And I don't know why. So, folks, I just want to say thank you for listening this week. Next week, I will have a show, I hope, Monday afternoon is the plan to have a show. I have I have a show hopefully Monday afternoon. I'll be getting done. I'm going to be in Toronto, Canada over the weekend. Getting back home on Monday morning. The potential, I guess, or the actual whole thing, what's going on here, is I will probably be able to have a show Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, and also Friday morning, as long as nothing steps in. So every day next week, except for possibly Monday, there will be a show in the morning. However, there may end up being a show in the afternoon on Monday, so that's where we're going with all that. Anyway, again, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think, and you can call or text the show there. The rest of the time, hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. God bless. Have a great rest of your day, and I will I'll talk to you on Monday, hopefully. That's the plan. Folks, thanks for listening. Take care.